Hello, Grave Talks family. It's Tony Bruschi. If you love the Grave Talks, you'll probably love our other podcast if you're already not a subscriber of it, Real Ghost Stories Online. The following is a 15-minute preview of this week's Extra Podcast Person, or EPP, bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. I hope you enjoy.
This is Sharon, and I am an EPP member, and I also have another story to let you guys know. I'm a paranormal investigator, and me and my group were in an old abandoned asylum in Connecticut, and I had walked up the steps, and getting to the second floor, you had to walk up a winding staircase. When you turn the corner, there is a hallway, and it has five doors on the left and five doors on the right. When I had turned the corner, I had a digital voice recorder in my hand, and I asked, "Is there anyone here that would like to communicate?" Simultaneously, all 10 doors slammed shut. I just kind of stood there in absolute astonishment that all of the doors had shut at the same time. If one had shut, I would have been, it's the wind, it's something else. But to have all 10 doors, five on each side, slam at the same time was just creepy beyond creepy. I got three EVPs. One said, "I'm in pleasure." The other one said, "I hate you." And the other one said, "Get out." So that was three that I had gotten, and they were all Class A EVPs. I had a friend of mine, Steven, who passed away due to suicide. When I was visiting the gravesite, he had said to me before he died, "If I ever die, you'll be the first to know." I had his friend call me up the day that he died, and I knew right away that something had happened. And I said to him, "I had a dream that Stephen killed himself." I said, "Let me describe what he was wearing." And he had his Harley Davidson shirt on, his blue jeans, his eyeglasses were on, he had his boots on and his white socks, and I to a T described everything that Stephen was wearing when he passed away, because I had the dream the night before that something was going to happen. So that's another very creepy thing that I've had happen.
And, you know, that's interesting, because sometimes it's just that easy. It's that easy to make the identification as to the spirits that one is in contact with, or they're coming to you, or you're reaching out to them. Other times, identifying the spirits that you're encountering can be extremely difficult. It can be nearly impossible sometimes. Sometimes they don't even want to be known or contacted or to have any sort of communication with the living. And even sometimes, if it's something that maybe never was living, identifying itself could be very good or very bad in terms of trying to get it to go away. Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, EPP bonus episode number 294. We have three very interesting stories about spirits identifying themselves. A demon identifies itself to a child, leaving a traumatic memory that will never fade. We do not say the name of the demon on the show. A family puts their hope in a paranormal investigative team. They're trying to identify who's haunting the house and why. It turns out, though, the team only makes things much worse than they were to begin with. And then teenagers playing with a Ouija board, trying to identify if there's any spirits in the house. They find out all too quickly that, yes, indeed, there is. And one of the teens knows the spirit all too well and the full story of why they are still lingering there. Very creepy stories today. It's EPP bonus episode number 294 of Real Ghost Stories Online. My name is Tony Bruschi. Stay with us. Growing up in a haunted house can have lasting effects. Effects that can be terrorizing and also just very confusing, especially when you look back on the days of living in that house, trying to make sense of everything that happened. Especially when you're looking back at it from an adult perspective into your childhood mind. There's a lot of doubts that will certainly come to you going, did I really experience that? How did I actually perceive these things? Did this actually happen? How did this happen? More times than not, though, when looking back on some of these things, folks realize that, yes, in fact, they did have a very paranormal, haunted upbringing and experiences that cannot be explained. They weren't crazy. It wasn't just childhood imagination. And it's those questions, then, that will always linger, because there's no way to truly get an easy answer to any of it. In our next story, we hear of someone looking back at a childhood haunt, something very dark approaching them at night, and even identifying itself with a name that we're not going to repeat on the show, not because it's a swear word, but because it's the name of a demon that very, very clearly identified itself and scared the crap out of this individual. And they want to know what it's all about and why this happened. Take a listen. Okay, so it all started when I was about 3 years old, maybe 4 years old. I was up late with my mom brushing my teeth in the bathroom. We had a pretty big house on the east side of Detroit. Our upstairs consisted of four rooms and one bathroom, and above us was an attic. Now, I must explain the upstairs correctly so you can get an accurate feel of what the upstairs looks like. So picture a hallway. On the left side, there's one room, staircase leading to the living room, and the door leading up to the attic. On the right side, there's two bedrooms. On one end of the hallway, next to the first bedroom, on the left is a bathroom. Right across from that bathroom is my room at the opposite end of the hallway. Everybody, my dad, my younger sister, whom I shared a room with, and all my brothers, was asleep in their rooms. The bathroom was the only source of light upstairs. Being that my bedroom was across from the bathroom, the light shined directly in my room against my sister's bed that she was asleep in. The bathroom light couldn't reach my bed because it was on the other side of the door. Instead, it cast a dark shadow over the rest of the room. When I was finished brushing my teeth, my mom gives me the okay, and I proceed into my room. I lay on my bed for about 30 seconds before I hear something moving on the side of my bed behind the door. There's at least a foot distance between my bed and the door, so there wasn't a lot of space. All I could hear after that was something screaming in my ear. I felt a physical presence, and I felt its warm breath in my ear. The voice was deep, but not necessarily human. It was super, super close to me. Whatever the hell it was tried to scare the shit out of me, and it worked. So I get up and run back to the bathroom where my mom is still there doing her nighttime routine. I said to her, Mom, there's something on the side of my bed. It just screamed at me. It was strange because I thought it was very loud, but if it was, then my mom and sister would have heard it. She leaves the bathroom and comes into my room and checks on the side of my bed and looks under my bed and doesn't see anything. She assures me that there's nothing there, and I believe her 100%. My mom goes back to the bathroom for a few more minutes before she turns out the light and climbs into my bed. And by the way, our room had a huge window with white laced curtains that always had light shining through it, but I can't recall our room being lit at all that night. I remember not being afraid to sleep in my room, even when my mom returned to her bedroom, which the one that's closest to the one I was in. But little did I know, I had no idea what was about to happen next. At this point, I'm not getting even remotely sleepy. However, my eyes are closed. Before you skeptics say that this is sleep paralysis, how can you explain the moment that happened before this? I wasn't even fully under my covers when that happened. I'm lying there and I hear a dragging sound. It sounded like a slow and heavy man dragging its feet on sandpaper. You could tell that the noise was coming from outside of my room and was getting closer. Finally, I felt its presence near my bed. A moment later, whatever it was placed its hand on my chest, but it wasn't a regular hand. It was heavy, had long nails that slightly dug into my chest. Looking back, I feel like it was a claw. But somehow, I wasn't afraid, and I don't know why. With its claw still resting on me, I spoke to it. "Who are you?" I asked. It replied with its name. It was the most gritty, dry, deep voice or voices I've ever heard. I then said, "Go away." And when I forced myself to open my eyes, I no longer felt its presence. I saw nothing standing before me. My sister was still softly snoring. It was as if nothing had happened. That right there is where we're going to pause it, the preview portion of this week's EPP bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want to hear the full thing, please become a supporter of our program. For $5 a month, you get access to all of our bonus episodes, 294 of them right now for you to binge away on year after year of some of our best ghost stories. You get all of it. You also get a free e-copy of our book. That's a $15 value, normally on Amazon, Real Ghost Stories, Haunting Encounters Told by Real People, an Amazon bestseller. You also get our audiobook right there. Again, a $15 value. You get that. You can buy it on Audible if you want, but you get that too, as well as a whole bunch of other extras, including advanced episodes of the program, all ad-free. So if you want all that, please keep our show on the air. You guys supporting it with your $5 a month donation is what does just that. Ghostpodcast.com is where you sign up, or if you prefer Patreon, they have a great app. Just go to patreon.com/realghoststories. And sign up there. You'll get access to all of it for being a supporter of our program. Until next time, for Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.